challenge things. And the reason I wanted at least some of the children to stay with their parents is because part of this is like a quiz. There will be questions to ask. And I wanted the parents to have the help of their children, because we know where all the intelligence is these days. It's those that are still in school, isn't it? You can nod at that. Yes, okay, right. Well, as soon as it comes up on here, then we will start. What is important is for when you see a particular image up on the screen, then I'm going to ask you a question about it. And it'd be really helpful if you can answer it. Okay? Perhaps you'll have to put your hands up so that I know who's first with that answer. All right? Okay? Oh, right, okay. Well, you can go through the first couple of these because they're just numbers. There we go. Just like the old-fashioned films that okay. Symbols and what they tell us. Okay, so we have the first one, and I want you to tell me whose brand is that? Oh, who said orange? See? You've got a lot to learn. Clean those glasses. You should have got the Specsavers. Who did you think it was? Who? Apple. Absolutely right. Apple. Now, you know that Apple is a manufacturer of all IT equipment, the iPhone, the iPad, and the iMac computer, isn't it? You see them in your schools, I expect. You see them on all the television programs. But why did they choose that Apple to be the symbol of their computer system? Do you know? Does anybody know? No. It's really good when I can feel that I know more than you know. Okay? Now, the reason they chose that is because it's meant to remind people of the day that Isaac Newton was sitting underneath a tree and an apple fell on his head. Now, he was thinking at that particular time about the whole concept of gravity. So if I pick something up and I drop it, just like that, it doesn't stay in midair, it falls. Gravity. And when Isaac Newton was sitting under this tree, he was really surprised when the apple fell on his head, because he was under a pear tree. But the point is this. He finally understood something. He now had some more knowledge. He was thinking to himself, yes, I now know there is something called gravity. Okay? And that's why the apple was chosen, so that it would reflect knowledge. Now, why do you think there's a bite taken out of that apple? Any ideas? No? Well, the bite is taken out of the apple to show that knowledge needs to be understood and used. Okay? When you enjoy an apple, you're taking that apple in, aren't you? And you're using that apple. And we need to understand that when we have new knowledge, we need to understand it and use it. So I'm hoping that some of these symbols are going to give us some new knowledge. Okay, so let's have the next one, niece. Who is that? What's his name? Mario? Well done. Okay, do you know who Mario is? A plumber. And what nationality is he? He's Italian. Italian. He was developed in 1981 by the company of Nintendo to be a part of a computer game. And when you see Mario on the computer screen, you find that he makes... Oh, you take the next one now, niece, because that takes... That's it, there he is. Mario is driving a car, usually, or something like that, going from job to job and all this. But he makes lots of mistakes. He's bumbling along, making loads of mistakes. But when you think about it, in actual fact, it's not Mario making those mistakes. It's you, exactly right. You're the one that's on the controller, and you're the one that's making Mario make a mistake. He should have gone left there, but he went right and he banged into things. Now, as you see Mario making those mistakes, you've got to think, no, I made those mistakes. Now, you and I, we all make mistakes, don't we? Is there anybody here who doesn't make any mistakes? No, that's good to see that you're honest. Wonderful. Great. Now, we all make mistakes. And in the Bible, it tells us that the vast majority of those mistakes are called sins. And those sins are not good. Now, what's the next picture? Who is that? You're too quick, aren't you? Right, who is it? Olaf, that's right. Now, if you take that away, that's him. That's Olaf. Now, how many of you have seen the film Frozen? Yeah. How many of you have seen it twice? And three times. It's a great film. If you haven't seen it, go out and hire it. It's a great film. Olaf is a snowman, okay? He's a snowman. Now, in the film, his face changes quite a lot. He loses that carrot nose and a reindeer starts to eat it. But he is someone who, he makes mistakes. And one of the mistakes he makes, he tries to get a suntan. And he's sitting in a deck chair and he's thinking, oh, this is lovely, this is lovely, this is lovely. You see, Olaf was making a mistake and he didn't appreciate what the consequences were. What was the consequence of him sitting in the sun? He was melting. He was going to be a completely different snowman when the sun had finished with him. Because he made a mistake and he didn't appreciate the consequences of that mistake. And we're the same. We make mistakes and we don't appreciate the consequences of those mistakes. What's the next one, niece? Oh, now what product is this? Lego, there we are. I had someone older that was going to appreciate this, I'm sure. Not too old. No, fair dues. There it is. It's Lego. Now, Lego is made by... I'm running here now just to make sure that I get the right name. Right, Lego is made by a Danish company. And the word Lego, two bits of Lego, L-E, stands for Leggut. And it means, let's play well. That's what it means in Danish. So now you've learned a little bit more of foreign language of Danish. Leggut. Okay? So you can go home and you can impress your families that you've had a little bit of Italiano and you've had a little bit of Danish. Now, this game is made of lots of little bricks. They were first designed in 1958. And those little bricks all join together, don't they? And they make marvellous designs. My kids used to love that. Now, there's an advert recently on the television where a boy is building up a lovely, big, statue-type building here. And he's just about finished it. And he's really proud. And his brother comes along and accidentally knocks it over. Because that can happen too. And it can fall apart much easier than it can be put together. And very often, you and I will face problems in our lives where we will fall apart. And very often, we really want to find some way of getting back together. Oh, what can I do to get back together? To rebuild. Sometimes we can't do that on our own. What's the next one, niece? You're all too good. But what is that called? Oh, there's always going to be a troublemaker, isn't it? No, it is Nike, but what's the name given to that particular design? Swoosh. Very good. Excellent. No doubt about it. And not many people know that. Yeah, it's just him and me at the moment. Well, now everybody else knows because now we've told them. But I'll ask them next week, you know, if they can remember what it's called, okay? And really, what it does, Nike, they developed this particular symbol to suggest something important. You see, it's made to more or less look like the shape of the wings that were on one of the supposed Greek gods' shoes. I can't remember who that was who had those on, but he used to flitter about. I can't remember. We'll find that out by next week, unless anybody knows that before. No? Right. Well, it means, it stands for victory or success. And I want to just ask you now, do you want to see more victory and success in your life? Yeah. As individuals, we do, don't we? We want to see that. But somehow, is that developed in us? So that is the Nike symbol. And it's called a swoosh. Okay, there we are. Next one, niece. Now, which car company, get it right now, don't make any mistakes, it's not Ford. Okay, which car company is that? Mercedes-Benz, excellent. Now, there was a young girl, 11 years of age, and her name was Mercedes Jellyneck. Now, you're sure to remember that, aren't you? What's her name? Mercedes Jellyneck, okay? And her father was the developer of cars in the car industry. And as he was about to start developing a new style of car, he decided, I'm going to call it after my 11-year-old daughter. And he started the business and called it Mercedes. It was about 1860, something like that. So he had decided that, yes, that was an important name. Later on, he joined another company called Daimler-Benz, and they became Mercedes-Benz. But what do you think that symbol stands for? Right, it's the three-pointed star. What do you think it stands for?
No idea.
Another piece of knowledge coming your way. Okay, see if you can introduce it into a conversation tomorrow when you're in work or meeting the neighbours. Do you know what that three-pointed star on the Mercedes-Benz symbol stands for? It stands for this. They made engines that were used in lots of different activities. And it suggests, in the three-pointed star, that they have power over land and sea and... Very good. It's as though you knew that then, Heather. Right. Land and sea and air. And that's what Mercedes was saying, more or less, is we have power over land and sea and air. Though they would have said it was a German accent. I can't do it. Now, I want to tell you that there is a God that I love, and he loves me, and he is really the power over land and sea and air. Those of us that are Christians can say that Almighty God is our God, and he is all-powerful. That is important. Because you remember a couple of minutes ago we were talking about Lego falling apart. Well, now I'm introducing you to someone who is able to put us back together. He is able to do a magnificent job in putting us back together. What's the next one, niece? Now, what is this? Pardon? Well, how do you know that? How do you know Pepsi? Oh, Pepsi? Okay. Right, well, I can tell you that Pepsi-Cola, and that's its full name, of course. Now, that was developed... I should ask questions, but it's wrong. It was developed in 1898 by a guy who brought together two ingredients. Pepsin, which is a herb that gives you digestive capabilities, pepsin, and cola nuts crushed up, put together, become Pepsi-Cola. Who is their major competitor, do you think? Coca-Cola, absolutely right. But you know, when that was first developed, more or less about the same time, it was developed as a medicine. Strange. And that is made of one product exactly the same, the crushed cola nuts and cocoa extract. Put together, Coca-Cola. But what is impressive about the Pepsi symbol is the words Pepsi-Cola are not on there. But you all knew it, didn't you? Because in the, the early 2000s, they decided our brand is so well known across the whole world, we don't need to put the words Pepsi-Cola on that brand. Everybody will know it's Pepsi-Cola. Now, I've got a question for you. Those of you that are Christians, do you have to tell people that you're a Christian? Or do they know it by the lifestyle you follow? Right? That is very important. Because we need to be able to convince people that we have something that is worth following, Jesus Christ, by our lifestyle and the way that we cope with issues, the way that we have a desire to share things. That's important to us. And what is it, Joseph? You sell Coca-Cola in your school? Well, I see. Okay, well, all right. Well, at the moment, let's assume get on with Pepsi, okay? That's the message I want to bring you from Pepsi-Cola, is how important is Jesus Christ to you in your lifestyle, so that you can actually show that you're a Christian rather than saying, oh, by the way, and I'm a Christian. What's the next one, niece? Oh, McDonald's. Do you know when McDonald's first came into production? I can't do a German accent, but I can do an American accent. The McDonald's brothers first started making burgers in 1948. But they didn't have their first store for fast food until 1952. And when in 1952 they asked an architect, design us a shop where we're able to sell our fast food, the architect went out, made up his own designs, brought it back, showed it to the brothers, they accepted it. But when it was built, they suddenly realized that on the front of the shop, he had made two doorways, an in and an out, and over each of them he'd put a golden arch. Fantastic. That will be our symbol. McDonald's, the giant arch. Golden arch. Fantastic. So you see, that symbol was made by mistake. Well, not so much made by mistake, but it wasn't designed to be the new symbol for McDonald's, which is now known throughout the world. Wherever Sue and I have been, if ever I struggle, and I struggle greatly with international food, I look out for that McDonald's sign. And I know that in there, I can get a burger that I'm going to enjoy. Because those golden arches are saying, this is what you can expect to find here. But one of the things I wanted to say to you, as I was putting these symbols together, I was thinking, now how can I actually introduce the gospel message into this? I'm saying that that was a design, really, as a mistake. It was almost an incidental. It wasn't designed to be the McDonald's symbol, it just became it. But in the Bible, we see a plan that God has put together. And he's put that plan together for each one of you. From the oldest to the youngest, there's a plan in God's mind for you. It's not a mistake. It's not a plan that needs to be changed every now and then just to suit whatever circumstances you're in. No. God has a plan, a distinct plan for you and for me. Perfectly designed. What's the next one, Nina? Right. Now you've got to tell me, what is missing from that symbol? Orange? Did you say orange? Excellent. Wrong, but excellent. What else could it be? Now we know it's not orange. You've got no idea? When you see it, you're going to be really surprised. As if by magic. Oh, now come on. Now, why were you not expecting that? Because orange, eh? Wow. We can see what mobile network you're on. Right. Clearly not the right one. Now, the reason that symbol was developed, B and Q, is because the names of the two guys that first opened a shop in 1969 in Southampton, if anybody's interested, was Richard Block and David Quayle. They put their initials together and made B and Q. Okay, what does B and Q do? Pardon? Yeah. Who said DIY? Maria? Victoria. Excellent. They are the DIY specialists. In fact, their website is called www.diy.com. Fantastic. Whoever got that. And the concept of it is, it's, if I give you the tools, you can do it yourself. If I give you the materials, you can do it yourself. Not so with salvation, right? Lots of people think, I know I've made mistakes. I know there are consequences of my mistakes. I will somehow remove all those consequences doing it myself. They believe in coming to church is a way of getting salvation. They believe in giving money every week is a way of salvation. They believe in doing good to other people is a way of salvation. But the Bible says that's not the case. The Bible says quite clearly that we need to see Jesus as our Savior. We need to see Jesus' sacrifice as being made on our behalf. We can't do it ourselves. Okay? DIY, what did you say to all those words as you were struggling to find more and more things? DIY, that's all we need to say. What's the next one, Niece? Now, whose flag is this? Well done, David. You were named after him. Well done. Absolutely excellent. That is the flag of St. David, our patron saint of Wales. So we should all know it, really. Our hands up who didn't know that before I asked the question. Very honest of you. I'm sure there's a lot more honest people here. Okay. It's St. David. Next question. What is his most famous miracle? Knows whose flag it is. Well done. Well done. Now, where was it? Down St. David's somewhere. It wasn't called St. David's at the time that it happened, okay? It was called Mwyliw, okay? At that place, David, who was later canonized as St. David, he was a really good man, but he realized he had a good message that needed to be shared with people. And he was a very influential man, as much as a lot of people came to hear him speak. And on one occasion, so many people came to hear him speak, he was standing in the middle, and the people on the outside of the crowd couldn't see him or hear him. Now, I don't know whether he prayed about it, but it is reported that what happened was under St. David's feet, a mound of earth came up and raised St. David above the crowd, and then he was able to speak to everybody that was in that crowd. Everybody heard him. And he was preaching a sermon along the lines of, there is a great God, and you need to know him. And God allowed him to give that message to more and more people by raising up that huge, I nearly called it a molehill. But if it was going to be that high, that's a big mole. But the point is, that's what happened. God wants his message to be heard by people, and will make sure that you are enabled in doing that. So what's the next one, Nice? Now, what is this? It's not a flag this time. It is a cross. A cross. Now, what a strange symbol for us as a Christian church to have as the symbol of our salvation. That seems so strange. Because it's a bit like an electricity company advertising their product with a picture of an electric chair with a symbol and with a slogan over it, the power is on. And you think, wow, that's not going to encourage people to buy electricity, is it? But we've got this symbol which represents a terrible death, usually by criminals that had somehow upset the Roman Empire, and these people were hung on a cross and they were hanging there in terrible, excruciating pain for many, many hours. It was a Roman method of execution. And we've chosen it to be the symbol of our Christian church. Very strange. What's the next one, these? It says on there, who hung on a cross? That's the most important person that we know has died on that cross. So, you know, some people think that the cross is empty. Other people think of it as a cross that has got Jesus hanging on it. The truth is, Jesus did hang on a cross, but now that cross is empty because Jesus died, was buried, rose again, and then ascended on high. And he's still there today. He's still there. Jesus Christ, God's Son, is still there today because he is speaking to God, his Father, to actually be a blessing on each one of us. He wants us to be blessed by God's hand. But Jesus was crucified for you and I. The reason is because the Bible tells us that He died for you and me. That may not be easy to understand. But just imagine that the person who died on that cross is important. What's the next slide, Niece? It says, who should have hung on that cross? Each one of us. The Bible tells us very clearly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means we have sinned, and because of that, we cannot be in the presence of Almighty God. That's what that verse says. And then it says, the wages of sin is death. Wow. So because of the consequence of the mistakes we've made, the sins we've undertaken, from the oldest to the youngest, from the youngest to the oldest, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Wow. Bible also says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Wow. So really, it should be us that's hanging there on that cross. That's each one of you out there. Should be there. But then that verse that says, the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life. So there is an alternative then. But it's not one that we're able to do ourselves. The gift of God is eternal life. All he is asking us to do is to recognize who the person was that died on the cross and why that person died on the cross. Jesus died there because he was making a way for you to get back in the presence of Almighty God without your sin burden. So, I'm asking you today, have you understood what I have said? Have you absorbed that knowledge? There's a lot of facts I've given you, a lot that you will remember, a lot more perhaps that you will forget. But are you going to apply that knowledge? That's the point. And the last point is, you as individuals need Jesus. Piece of knowledge, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. So it's a piece of knowledge, but have you applied it? Have you taken the bite out of that apple which says, yeah, I understand it. I am going to give my life to Christ Jesus. When Sue was talking about mission to Wales, that's what message we're going to be giving to the people of Cardiff, but on the same days to the people of our country, Wales. In every major city and town, there will be people on the streets asking the people they come into contact with a number of questions which will lead to the point, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And if not, what are you going to do about it? And we know that in a recent pilot exercise in Swansea, over 6 days, 374 people on the streets of Swansea said, I know I need Jesus as my Savior. Wow, 374 in just 6 days. But in those 6 days, that was just 1 hour a day when people were approached. So that's in 6 hours, 374 people. Now, I'm sure that if you were to look at Cardiff, you would actually see that more or less the people of Cardiff are in the same state as the people in Swansea. More or less the people right across Wales are the same as those people in Swansea. So there are hundreds of people, perhaps thousands of people, who need to be challenged as you have been today in, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior?